I said a couple weeks ago that we'll discuss various aspects of CTS's life, aspects which require elucidation and explanation. Basically, CTS's life is not the story of an event that transpired so many years ago, but it is the story of our people. It's a story which is still very significant, which sheds the light upon current events. Now what I would like to discuss tonight, and I believe I have, as much as I could, I believe we have the problem of the gift. You understand more or less. I can't say that I did a good job or a bad job, but I tried my best. And this one, the problem of the gift is one of the strongest problems. And we have always encountered baseless and completely unreasonable accusations pertaining to the Shah, the other problem is simply not a question of time criticism, but this problem didn't touch what we've got to understand in our theory, whether we are attacked or not attacked. The problem, the connection between two mitzvahs in Yetzias Mitzrayim. Let me say the Exodus Yetzias Mitzrayim led to Matan Torah. And the 613 precepts which the Torah imposed upon us. It would be permissible and quite true to say that all mitzvahs, all Tayyar mitzvahs, are rooted in the event of Matan Torah. You can hear it quite often. The Torah tells us to do something or to abstain from doing something. It refers, alludes to Yetzias Mitzrayim. אני הראשון מכיר את המשל הצייש הספרים המצרים ואיך מוכן מנקים quite often the term does it come in the number of many precepts you perhaps know I mean what precepts the term is connected or associated with the term Mitzrayim in particular let's feel our temperature the Shabbos yes Shabbos yes correct meaning the way it is explained in Deuteronomy. Yes, we should say, correct, yes, correct, yes. Yes, what else? Could you tell me, or at least point out to me, I wouldn't say criterion, in the full sense of the word, and take it literally, but some kind of a guiding principle as far as the selection of mitzvahs which are associated with the Yetzias Mitzrayim in Chumash. Quite a number of mitzvahs. What classes, what kind of mitzvahs the Torah prefers to relate to Yetzias Mitzrayim as a memorial, as a warning. For instance, we read this portion in Kippur for Milchem. The Maisei Eretz Mitzrayim later also. Let's read such a portion. When God was in the mission, he had not been able to show him out of the land, אני אומר שאני מכיר לכם כמעט ארץ מצרים שאני שכתם בו לא יתעשו. כך משפוט היתעשו וזכותי סעתי שלא הולכת להם, זה רדת. זאת כמעט ארץ מצרים, מבין כאן זה קייבו עד לא עצה. עשי ניסי צפות בידן המין סקס רלישנשיפ, קורט? קורט, כן. ארץ מצרים, קורט. ואין, יופן אדרידי שמיני. יוסלו, No. I'm looking for something parallel.
Morality
all his desires are lost. People criticize traditional faith, but it's a religion as cheap of shit. I mean, you know, the job once said when he came to visit the Yeshiva University, and he found Aronovich teaching the students the other day, they asked, what is he teaching? And he happened to teach most of the following. So he said he's not interested in a religion of the stomach. I mean, Yahushua is interested. I'll tell you frankly, it's easy for a man to pray, to go into shul and pray for an hour, and even pray sincerely through his dedication. What's very difficult for a man to discipline his mind is easy, but to discipline his body is very difficult. And Yahushua was interested in disciplining the body. Taking physiological functions, which are due to natural, spontaneous, primitive drive in man, and converting them into a service of the Almighty, into a way. The Rambam, when he speaks in Ilchot Deah about a way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu to serve God, so the conclusion of the last sentence is, the Nimtzov Eved HaSanedrin, if he is guided by two principles, so he'll be a servant of God, there is a chilosin, why will he eat? There is chilosin, why will he sleep? And that is the sense of pasuk, the verse, the whole rachecho, they tell you, know thy ways. Find him not only when you are in shul, or you keep a familiar man. Find him when you are in your office, in your dining room, in your bedroom, and then you are in public, and then you have a private life. And that's what you have. This is Muhammad Sassuris, and he was a pariah, I mean, sex morality. Here is the mighty Eretz Mitzrayim with us. Because the pagan is very simple. The ancient pagan religions, I mean, not one, all of them, who worshipped actually pleasure. Pleasure was the highest norm for them. The ethical norm. And of course, they developed a sort of Christian way of life. It's a mystical way of life. I mean, you worship your God by engaging in the most erratic physiological activity, which promised a lot of pleasure. So here is Kemaisa of Mitzrayim Reisas. So the group of mitzvot, which belong under that category of Kedusha, is connected or associated to the Mitzrayim Reisas. What else? There's another group too. Another group of mitzvot. Do you have to know who you're from? Yeah, correct. You're asking this again. And what else? Shabbat? Yes. Yes, of course, yes, Shabbat. We need to talk about it. The Shabbat associated with slavery in the last time. The Mayimuah, the Emperor of America. So not what we're saying. I'm still waiting for something else. No, no, I don't care. I'll come there. Yeah. Those are memorials. I'm not speaking now about memorials for you to hear this one. Memorials to Jesus is a different story. We have a bunch of mitzvahs. We say that memorials to Jesus Christ. I'm asking mitzvahs whose essence is nurtured by you to hear this one. Which are rooted in you to hear this one. For instance, what I say, in Kisaitri. In Kisaitri. You know, just one second. It is Chavdalet, Vorim Chavdalet, 24, verse 18. auch keine Rechen in Zaxpa Wasser, das ist ein Rabbein. Sie wird betal wie in Joshens, die in Gwiz, wo ich sagte nicht, dass wir Joshens, wenn ich sage, wer Roma, ich tue es nicht auf Joshens, auf Joshens in Schade. In Schade. Aber auch vor jetzt ist, wenn ich spätte, again, which mitzvah is associated with the case of Christ? With it, justice. And basically it means like that. The only mitzvah which can be organized and subsumed under the category of justice are again associated with the case of Christ. The mitzvahs which are categorized under the rubric of Kedusha are in the Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the other group, those mitzvahs which are associated with the principle of justice, are also Yetzias Mitzrayim. If you think those two ideas, that of Kedusha and the other one of justice, so they encompass what? The whole thing, the whole thought, the entirety of Judaism. The habits can be organized, subsumed, that means the precepts, the precepts, the commandments, both negative and positive commandments, under two categories, Kedusha and justice. In other words, there's the whole of the Yad Mitzvot is associated with this mitzvah. For instance, Shabbat is also, the way it is explained in the Eschanon, deals with justice. While the Zohar of Shabbos in Exodus is concerned with Kedusha. Like in Baikhubu, 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 like in Baikhubu. If a man observes Shabbat, he enhances his inner sanctity, his inner strength, his inner spirituality. He rises to great heights of holiness and sanctity. He makes his life exalted. It's the element of exaltation in his life. On the other hand, and this is associated, this is the first line. The heart of God is the Yisrael. At the time, I'll conceive for the Shem and the Kechol, I'll say, that's all of it. Your servant, even your animal, cannot work 7 days. It's not restful. One day in seven. Yes, this is Kedusha. On the other hand, there is the principle of justice which governs usually the mitzvah should be another one, lachadere. Human relations, the highest is human relations, justice. Of course, above justice, there is also charity. There is doke, law, of course, but well, let us just merge all the other three, charity, justice, and law. Let's call it tzedek, 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 tzedek. It's again, we try and it's the source. So actually, when the Torah applies, the Torah relates certain mitzvahs to the Jewish tribe, mitzvahs which are representative of the idea of Kedusha, as well as the mitzvahs which are typical and indicative of the idea of justice, so the Torah actually, lets the Jewish Mitzrayim encompass the whole of the 613 commandments. In the whole of the Torah. Yeah. However, there are there is a special group of mitzvahs which are closely associated with the Exodus And they serve as reminder, as memorial to the accident. And they create again. They are the symbolic memorial of Yetzirat Mitzrayim. Two types of mitzvahs belong to this group. First, you mentioned holidays. Precepts, which are connected with the celebration of the holiday of Pesach or other holidays, like Sukkot or Shavuot. Such as the tradition of the state mitzvahs, which connected with celebration of the Passover holiday and the prohibition against the consumption of the chametz, eating chametz, the offering of the paschal egg, the eating of the matzah, and so forth and so on, or the sitting, the dwelling in the sukkah, I mean, during the festival of sukkah today. You are actually direct reminders of it is the time. The methods, they are actually, what shall I say, they are the echoes of the reflections of Yetzirat Mitzrayim. We try actually to imitate, to relive the event of Yetzirat Mitzrayim, to relive, to restage. It's not just dead memory, it's not dead memory, you just mentioned it in the word. So they were there, I want to be able to create the Mitzrayim. But to relive, and to this page, and to reenact, I mean, a situation, experiences, which are millennia years old. This is one group. And those mitzvahs are not permanent ones, and in the sense they are not practiced the whole year round. For a certain period of time, usually, I mean, in the season in which the original event took place, for instance, Pesach in the spring, and so forth and so on. It's one. Second, there are precepts which we practice, whose practice is not seasonal but permanent. This Pesach is only a practice which occurs once a year, in the season of spring, correct? In the same Sukkot, the same, it's not in spring, it's fall, it's a fall of God, because of Hashanah. So if you practice the mitzvah for a certain number of days, or once, like the Seder, or the prohibition against Chomet, I mean, for 7 days, and then the mitzvah is suspended, and then you return to our routine, our normal way of life, I mean, yeah. But there are mitzvahs which are memorial to Yetzirat Mitzrayim, but whose observance is a permanent one, the whole year round. Here they are memorial to Yetzirat Mitzrayim. They symbolize the Exodus. So that mitzvahs are not a permanent. As a matter of fact, we know of two precepts which share the symbols and memorials to the Exodus, in spite of the fact that they are practiced the whole year round. Namely, Chor. Chor under one roof. Chor, the mitzvahs pertaining to the firstborn. And Chum. Chum basically is a memorial to the Exodus. I don't have to tell it to you. Well, at least two of the two parshas. Kaddishli Kotchei, where you give up, where you tell me, where you give two. And the parshas explain the meaning of two. And its relationship to the first of time. Kaddishli Kotchei, well, she teaches you something different. She tells something. Kaddishli Kotchei, Petra Kolechem, Bodim Rabbein Moliu, Tayim Adei Shalom, Zohar Tayim Adei, Asher Tosim Mitzrayim, Sein Zuchu, Tabar to Kotot Rechem Rav Hashem, Chotrei Rotov Bezanecho Tivre, Zoi Kisho Kodil Chomach Olim Amadis, 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 Amadis And the Torah speaks about the Kol Tetra. Because you know Pchor, you have a friend to me, how it is Pchor symbolic of existence, right? And then at the end of the day, the very of all Israel, the Torah is in the Rechum, to the Chiz of Yod Yitzhak on Hashem Messiah. The same that the Chiz of Yod is employed by the Torah to explain Pchor, and the Torah to explain Pchor. I don't know how they're able to do the answer. The full answer tonight, but we'll surely let's start this program and see what we can more difficult. Let us summarize the relationship between Kiddush Kor sanctification of the Torah, and the Yetzias Mitzrayim. Of course, if we want to analyze the relationship between Kor and Yetzias Mitzrayim, and understand the meaning, understand the origin, when I say understanding Mitzvah, I never try to answer the question of why. It's ridiculous. But the question of why is always related to motivation. If you regard a human being, you may ask the question, what motivated him? Usually, what motivates a person's action? A desire for something which he does not have, does not possess. Because if he possesses the something, the thing, or the object that you desire, he's going to initiate any action. If you don't initiate action, apparently, he's missing something. He's lacking something, or missing something. He wants to, the desire come true. And that's why he launches action, certain activities. Yes. That's what motivates Takadosh Baruch Hu. To give certain laws or certain rituals and commandments is ridiculous. He's omnipotent, he's omnipresent, and the realization of his own will is the purpose, and Takadosh Baruch Hu lacks nothing, desires nothing, nothing is outside of him. Everything is encompassed by him. So motivation is ridiculous. Usually when you say a motive, what do you understand by a motive? What is a motive? Motivation consists of two elements, as I understand it. One desire. To love the image of an object in which I want to live. I am concerned, or rather which the desire I reach out for. Right, it is ridiculous to apply to the Almighty, it's completely ridiculous. When I say understanding Mitzvah, I mean the sense of understanding, not of explaining. Ridiculous, explaining something and understanding something. And when you say explain means tell me the cause. When you explain something, you reach out for the cause. This is to explain the causal nexus. Why be, so you say, because I. Why I, because you see, and it doesn't matter. The cause and effect, the chain. This is the question of the physicists and the chemists, the biology, those who are concerned with explanatory sciences. We follow the causal nexus. Yeah, when you seek to understand what being, I have to understand the cause. I have to understand the meaning. What does it mean to me? The content. What is the meaning of it? As soon as you ask, what is life? The fish is the answer, it's a wavelength. Well, it's a quantum, it's quantity. It's explained, but this is what makes me understand life there. But if I come in and I ask you, what is life? You tell me life, right? And then see that you're surely not alone. It's not a scientific answer, certainly not. Scientific answer is always when you quantify and you compare something, the qualitative phenomenon into some mathematical relationship or equation. But if you want to understand, but you don't understand the world, I say. So the same world is the limit for the content, the essence of it. And when I say, I mean, it seems clear to understand it with the relation, I don't mean why after this world is over, to sanctify, to set apart the first world. It would be a foolish question. By the way, what I said to you, I said to you just now, the Rambam says it in Shavua HaKam. He says Shavua realize that your Brichu has told us to practice with this foolish and out of context. But what does Shavua HaKam mean to me? What can I learn from Shavua HaKam? What moral lesson can I derive from Shavua HaKam? It's the proper question and the good question. Which is the problem now is only modern philosophy of religion. They still want to explain why. Why they will not get to get more in trouble, trying more involved in that dilemma. By trying to explain why the causal nexus of the theology of the nature. This is the useless. But if you explain from a different viewpoint, how do I understand it? What does it mean to me? Does it give me solace? Does it inspire me? Or on the contrary, the mitzvah depresses me? What is my reaction? What is my emotional response to this? How do I feel when I fulfill the mitzvah? How do I feel when I carry out the commandment? When I'm in the process of fulfilling the mitzvah? This is a good question. This question should be encouraged and understood well. In this sense, I'm trying to, not there, but I almost can explain the two kinds of self-talk. However, from the self-talk, we have to understand something else, namely what? And it's very difficult to understand. This is the second problem which follows the one we have dealt with.
There, at the burning bush, he offered in the mission
and becoming the Redeemer and the Messenger of redemption, and to take, the people out of the land of Egypt. Correct? Moshe argued, God responded. There was almost a discussion, a debate between the Almighty and Moses. Moses was reluctant to accept the mission. Finally, he agreed. And the prophet told us, we did it well on when the Almighty is settling that Aaron will be his interpreter, the spokesman. And so the Misha fell to agree, we did a rule of all on that the matter of the speaker of the devil, I shall pass it by his places. And we were Misha, when Yosef of Yosef Hesley, Shmos, it is 4:18. So about when Misha accepted it, what message was it supposed to deliver? You excuse me that I made the frequent excursion in the text of the Bible. I can't help it. But you can't understand it in the context of the story of the Exodus. Not as an idea, but as a part of the event. You see, the message, because you told him what message he should deliver to Israel, and also the message he should deliver to whom? To Pharaoh. What to happen the sickly is more of Allah Mitzrayim, take a look in 3:18. L'amart of Elom, Adeshem Nekehidu Mishra Aleinu, L'at of Elchon L'Oterach Tishisyon Banidvo, V'nizbacho Adeshem Nekehidu. It's clear message. V'amidu Dai Tikri Yitnei Etchem Lalech, V'mediot Chazoko, and now I'll compel the king of Egypt and to set the Jews free. Fine, it's not good. And then the conversation. All right. Then Misha accepted the mission. I don't accept the mission. When he left Misha, by Joshua, and Yetzer Chesney, Misha came back, returned to his father-in-law, Yetzer. By Yimalei, he told him, Ilchon Lo Be'ere, Tzachas Mitzrayim, I want to visit, to be a visit to my brother in Mitzrayim. I am Chagim, and you saw Misha Mechushalim. The mission was, as I confide myself, to the idea, namely, that he is the Redeemer and he has to carry the burden, the Lord of redemption. It means that he should come, should go to Mitzrayim without fearing any prosecution, for the murder he committed. He should go to Mitzrayim in a faith that nothing will happen to him, no harm will happen to him, no Mitzrayim. ואני אקח מי ששתי לזבנות ויעקיד ברחמיהם. ואני יודע שבארץ מצרים, זה גם הלווי במצרים. סבלו. ואני אקח מי שסמאת לגין ביודי, ואיבא אני שם על נשת לו the last message you receive from the Almighty. ולך תחו מצרים. וראי כמו המי ששמתי ביודך. Review. אז מי שתמי, הקדמוך רמיינד מי ששוד review עליהם. The whole debate, the whole conversation, he had with the Almighty and the commandments, and particularly the commandments, which the Almighty issued to him, pertaining to his encounter with this fellow, Rechel Amesim, as something that's right, as he's in the Sentare, Don't be depressed by the fact that the child will refuse. You meet his resistance, but finally, the ruler will be realized. Oh, now this is suddenly, out of the clear blue sky, Israel is my son. My friend told, Rahim Rala, and I tell you, Shalach is me, set free, or let my son go. He has been here, he worship me. But Moel Shalom, here's the name. And if you should refuse to send him, the second three, in the name of Israel, it has been fulfilled. Set of other services shall be difficult. In the transition from Yitzchir in Israel to the Donetsk Hillish and Duke of Chirecho. And that most difficult is in the context. Why didn't the Almighty promise to Moses at the very beginning? When he trained Moses how to speak to Pharaoh, how to appeal before him and how to demand from him this. And so the Jews be set free. The Almighty didn't mention anything of me in the previous dialogue between him and Moses. But after Moses came back to get to Yisrael and obtain permission, so suddenly the Almighty gave him a new mission, not a new mission, a new message. And the message is a very short one, consists of two sentences. Yisrael Israel, Lachim Eheret Brinkot Chereach. We got to understand the relationship. In particular, the context within which this new message was placed. Let us think. And then next to the message is, Tayyid Adar Abam Walay. It was ונפישים לנשם, דיידק ישמיסה, שבוי. ותיקח צפי רוצה, ותיקח תשור עצמו, ותק הרחבי ותיקח חסם דמן, אם היא לא תרסם צפי לפסוקת. זאת, אני אעשים כבר תפנאו אני מנטפרט עם גאון, זה הופך שם. וזה אין אינטרס נגיד, תפקת, תום להסתם. דיפר לא מזום בעצם, תתנזית חיר ישראל, ומהיר דין חופכי רחוב, ואין ספר מיליון מיליון, זה פרי לפרסר. It's a completely different frame of reference than the previous one.
Your question in the boat, the grown-up, that's your way.
nakon grada čuve. Znači kao ovaj, a gdje ja dol sam je sprito, ali gdje sprit? Znači mi se namjena da ne ima ne ovaj. Znači mi se namjena da ne. Vi ste mi za razne spota. Ali ne da hrga si ja. Čao znara, ja znam da li sam. Čao znara, čao koga. I do pešćove i stavca od i ti bi niši. I glavne ti na gdje ti izgledam kuhov. Then the foreign games, three games, you know, so. So the Habakkuk is international, already practiced, I mean, violence of authority, and used force, muscle, knuckles, in order to discipline their own girls and sisters. All the few children in the yard, I mean, then it develops into, like everything else, it develops into these organizations. It's a conspiracy. And what about that? Sociologists, historians, accustomed to speak about the ancient patriarchic society. Of course, it was a patriarchic society. You know, I would add another word to it. It was a patriarchic slave society, basically. But only a patriarchic society, in Jewry Jews, it is ridiculous to say that our community is an exclusively patriarchic community, isn't so. I believe that the Jewish community is both patriarchic as well as matriarchic. But at least, patriarchic society or community or however, we can imagine it two ways. The father of patriarch is a teacher. He teaches the children. By teaching the children, he arouses in them a sense of respect. Reverence. And of course, respect. The reverence leading, I told you, to law. And the father of command, the father who issues the command, not because he enforces this command, or he is violent. To make the children follow his advice, his orders, but simply the children accept his orders. Out of love, out of love. This is society which Abraham wanted to establish and did establish. And this is a society which is based on figure our Abraham. But neither is the half superior to the end, nor is the superior to the half. Father and mother enjoy equally on the end. That's what the Chazal said, Ramach Yishra Hoset, Yishra and Yimei Jerome, Yishra and Yimei Jerome, and God is the living from Yahweh. It means father and mother enjoy equal respect and equal and the same law, this is. But there was another patriarchic society in antiquity. The father of the court was the law, the supreme law. Not simply because he was the strongest. He used force. The old man was the law. And God. It's a good society, from the old man at the top, straight down to the base. A little pyramid, a vein. The Hebrews, let me say, the Hebrews who were slaves in the tribe, they were not slaves only to Pharaoh. Pharaoh was the man at the top, of course, but they were not slaves only to Pharaoh. The sentence of the week, we are subjected not only to Pharaoh's chicanery or to Pharaoh's brutality and cruelty, but to the brutality and cruelty of every official. For every person who knew its power in Israel. And every person who was the oldest to have the strongest. Strong means not only the oldest, it means the strongest. So they who knew the exercise power. I mean, I still remember, I mean, as a child, I mean, I was not, I actually experienced anti-Semitism. So, but the one who practiced either on me or on my playmates, was not in the bazaar in the government. I never saw the bazaar. Nor the governor of the district. No. Not even the police. The police is captain. Who terrorized us? There was a shaker. There was a big shaker, and they were very strong. They used to beat us up. For no reason, I was fine with it. They used to beat us up. He never let us play. We got a face with the cross of sleep. Because he made our cross of sleep. And then his house used to come out and beat us up. Why the question is, why should 10 Jewish boys be afraid of what she does? I never answered this question, right? This question. But I noticed that in Washington Heights, the Shlimoids, or hundreds of Shlimoids, are also afraid of what she does. So I should not be ashamed. I said, it's only the Lord did not, the hunger banish all of it. It's a shame in Israel, it's not the Lord who did not. But it's discussing why it didn't should be done that. You know, it's a part of the mentality of the slave, of the bondman, of the person, of the prosecuted person. And it's exactly, we try to learn not only the issues, but not only subjected to the musicality and caprice, or a fellow, or restraining it, or a member of his royal council, to the caprice and musicality of every official. At every person who is strong, who was stronger, because he was old, he was the oldest. The whole society consisted of tyrants and slaves. The old man ruled over the entire family, the oldest son over his younger brothers. And the chief butler over the servants of the house. I mean, it's true. I don't know, as a child I experienced that in Russia. I believe it's until this day in Russia. The communist, state communist community, socialist, Marxist community also, the big slave community, no doubt about it. See? So it's really not Stalin, I mean, or Brezhnev, and slaves, all of you, I mean, the 100, 200 million Russians. But it's a hierarchy of slavery. You look at every, at even every base, I mean, there is somebody of whom the weak person is afraid. It's fear. It's a society which is united by fear. The cohesive force is fear. And the night of Ephraim, the Almighty smote by only all the firstborn, which means all the strongest, those who were born first and exercised brutal authority and compelled people to comply with their will. Each one was a master of slaves. It's the matter. No doubt about it, in Eden, the process was over here. He punished also their gods. Why did he punish their gods? Because if you punish a nation, you have to destroy the philosophy of the people. You have to refute the philosophy. If you punish somebody, but this philosophy is not refuted, then you'll come back. You repeat the same mistake, or the same error, you see. Ujolahim was a shocking, it means that the night of Pesach, God has punished ideology of slavery, of force, of violence, of ruling, of inspiring fear in people, and ruling over them because they were afraid. Well, now the question is, does jihadists recognize the unique, that the call is to be singled out among other members of the household? Or jihadists have abolished institutional prayer? Did jihadists simply abandon the institutional prayer? No, not so. All are alike. The same statements and they are assigned to every one of them. Or jihadists, it is a tricky question around the time. Or jihadists have just replaced the institution of the firstborn, which presumed in the tribe did another institution, which might be the reverse of the ancient pagan institution of slavery. And others have abolished it completely. So what do you say about it? Yes. It's a question. Did the other say the whole institution of slavery should be abolished, abandoned? There is nothing good in it? Or replaced, redeemed, and elevated to great heights? It is a question. What do you say? Krishna is not fool. I'll show you why Krishna. Because there is something to I expect the answer to Krishna. There is no doubt that the others have recognized the unique position of the poor, of the firstborn, or the unique role that the poor plays within the households. However, the fact of primogeniture was not considered to be a source of power. The other one, not power.
Exercise of authority.
يلا دلي ها يو ده 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 and think he's God alone, I'm saying. self-contradictory for me. But you know, as a matter of fact, I mean, he was like a man of power. He didn't like power. As a matter of fact, okay, if you see the image of Jacob in terms of Kabbalah, Jewish Kabbalah, is Jacob in Rachmin. Yitzchok is glory at the Jacob in Rachmin. Jacob symbolizes charity. Jacob did not look for power. Heaven, according to the our view, our philosophy does not grant specific prerogatives or rights that Jacob wanted to obtain. So the prayer, what did he want? Why did he actually die because of the prayer of Anisha for Mizir of Ashim, for Mizir of why? What was he interested in? What was he interested in? Yeah, it's a real Ashim, said Anisha. All right, and what was it? Let us just read the text. What was he interested in? Forget now everything, Anisha. The problem is if you know too many of our Chazal, so yeah, the answer. But before we get to the Mizir of Chazal, the letter just simply read the text of the mission. What was Jacob interested? What was Jacob interested? He was interested in something. After all, we made an attempt to buy the prayer and suffer from the counter the rest of his life, I mean. What kind of inheritance? It depends what kind of inheritance. The other thing, Jacob refused, he finally yielded to her because simply she exercised her authority. Risk it. But Jacob refused to appear as Esau before his father in order to obtain the brother. In other words, Jacob was not interested in blessings which were concerned with worldly power. What blessings? Did he talk in power to Jacob finally? Yabuchan nishtach chololomim, and v'yul achech nishtach chololomim. He accepted the nobles of me compulsorily because Rivka said, but it's not a killing. Rivka issued an order simply instructions that he had to go to the biggest guy in the face and he the brother. Rivka paid attention, I mean, to warn the power. Yes. But Jacob refused. He was not in the land that he was afraid from us. But he was not the car of Jacob. But he refused. He had to invest, not compelled for that. He knew the bracha in which father was about in power to Esau. He's not going to satisfy him. So he says, Kirochi Esau, Esau, Vanil Sholok, he meant, pardon me, you can interpret it literally, but he meant something else. Esau is interested in power and violence and force. Esau wants to be the strongest, the most populous. And the richest, I'm not interested. I have different designs, I have different ideals, I have different visions. So why should I have made a petty market? The sanity did not let himself be exploited by labor. Does not show anything, does not prove anything. Jacob was not interested in that. So what did he ask the prayer for? What is our prayer for? Jacob knew only one thing, apparently, that through the prayer, he will inherit, not land, the covenantal destiny. He will be the successor of Yitzchok and Abraham. He was afraid that Esau should not be next in line to his father. That's what he was afraid of. And I want to tell you, the covenantal destiny, who fought for that? But in Yerusha, the covenantal destiny, Sarah fought, and then she asked Abraham to send Hagar away with his son. It's very, covenantal destiny cannot be identified is a desire dispowering and authoritative. And whatever the covenantal destiny is, for those people who committed themselves to their destiny, I mean, did not exercise too much authority, they suffered a great deal, for they never ruled. There were those who were persecuted, but not among those who ruled. But in that respect, that's rather strange. It most probably is not a coincidence. As a matter of fact, the assignments, great assignments were given to people, when people in HaKadosh Baruch Hu promoted certain people and elected them, he always left out the oldest one. The oldest one. And he selected, was either the youngest or the younger one. As a matter of fact, Abraham was not the oldest. The oldest brother was not here. Abraham was younger, of course, Haran was still younger. Yishmael and Yitzchak Yishmael was the oldest. Yitzchak was the younger brother. And then Jacob, Esau and Jacob. So Jacob, because he passed the prayers on Esau, where he became the successor to Yitzchak and the representative of the covenantal community. Then as far as sons are concerned, Reuben lost everything. Reuben lost Yehuda, Levi Yehuda, and Binyamin. Yes, it's Binyamin, of course. Then you come to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was not the oldest. Moshe Rabbeinu was the middle. I mean, the youngest, actually, Aaron and Miriam were by far older. They were older than he. That's it, yes. David was the youngest. Shane was the youngest. It's very strange that those people who were elected, they were endowed with the charismatic, inner charismatic quality to be leaders and rulers. Yes. What is involved? Well, let me now try to explain. What is involved in prayer, according to our viewpoint? Probably what in prayer is the following idea, though. So let me repeat what I said to you many times, but I can't help myself. I cannot explain prayer without introducing this idea. God owns the world. Please listen carefully to me. In general, and believing the world in particular. Let's say, usually the cosmos consists of dead matter. Dead matter. Whether there is organic matter somewhere else in the entire universe, no one knows. There are many suggestions, many guesses, but no one knows. Whether there is vegetation on any other planet, natural planet, and many other stars, not only in our system, in solar system, but in other systems. In other galaxies, no one knows. I doubt whether we'll ever know that. Anyway. But in this world is divided into two compartments, into dead matter and animate matter. It's organic matter. God's cause is the master, ruler, and lord of the entire universe. Of course. Including the empty and dark spaces between the galaxies, the interstellar spaces. However, his claims to ownership and mastery are more assertive and more specific and stronger pertaining to living matter in general, and pertaining to men in particular, because men is the crown of the living world. There is a simple proof that this is true. Because there is some strange phenomenon in our head. Not in our head, it's in our thinking. In the habits, there is a strange thing, there's something that appears. For instance, we have a system of Tayyab mitzvahs, correct? You know that. We just spoke about dietary laws, the laws pertaining to sex morality. It's very strange. Dietary laws encompass what? weitere Lassnachung ist das also im Kopf des Wortes. So das jetzt nicht los. In order to consume meat, you go hungry again. Correct? Restrictions which the Almighty imposed upon us, the Allah imposed upon us, the Almighty, to the Allah, are mostly concerned with what aspects in the world, because we are enjoying from doing this and doing that. Usually, the aspect, I mean, we are enjoying, for instance, let's say the zoological area, I mean, the animal kingdom, is not a very acceptable part. You know that most highest and the highest belong to that, to the unclean species, correctly. Most birds are also belong to that, more or less, to the unclean species. The few animals which you are allowed to eat, the so-called domesticated animals, I mean like a cow and a sheep, so you cannot just take a sheep or a cow, kill the cow and eat the meat. I mean, you know, so the business of the Jewish kitchen, I mean, you have to kill the cow, you have to select the sheva, and pay the salary, and make the knowledge that you should ask them, and pay the salary, and the sheva, and God would get kabbalah. I mean, the whole procedure, then shrite, then after shrite, you cannot just say, all right, now let's take the meat. The meat, I mean, and cook, I mean, and eat. No. The business, the rich, that is something, the chelem is something. It's got the chelem, certain part of the fat, it's got to be removed. I mean, and so forth, but don't cook inside, I want to cook it in meat, or fry steak in meat. I don't know if fry, not steak, you're paying your wealth. But better to fry, what should I say, hamburger in butter. No, forbidden. Thank you. So it means that you have denied access to the animal kingdom. There is very limited access to the animal kingdom. And this limited access we have is so, what they say, is that they are loaded with specific injunctions that it's almost difficult, actually, I mean, to enjoy it. This particular food. Take, for instance, the organic world, the vegetative world. We haven't got so many prohibitions against the vegetative world. For instance, which world we have almost none. Which vegetable is forbidden, which is allowed? All vegetables are allowed. There is not a single vegetable, unless man corrupts the species. And the world had man to cry out terribly. And even cry his way and cry your human, I shouldn't do that. I must not practice it. That is food is permissible. So there is hardly one vegetable to which man has no access. But still, you have the laws of all there, for instance. 3 years. You have some laws. They provide the 4th year. I have no access. In Eretz Yisrael, we have quite a number of injunctions and laws pertaining to the vegetative world, to the soils, to the semitras and Tarnishnike. But you cannot compare the laws which encompass human access to the flora, to the vegetative kingdom, with those laws which the terror has imposed upon us, pertaining to the animal kingdom. You cannot compare. No. Pertaining to the mineral, not to the plant, but to the mineral, what we may enjoy, we cannot enjoy. There are hardly any laws. Do you have any laws pertaining to the mineral? You know, laws are to drink water, which water is permissible, which is prohibited. Is there? I've never heard of it. The only thing we require is to say a prophet. What is the question of acknowledgement of gratitude? That's all. Ja, der ist nach ihm. Ja, auf der Liste ist der Verlust zu essen. Das bin ich bei von ihm. Ja, aber ich glaube, es ist pertaining to the use and exploitation of inorganic matter. Why is it so? It's a very strange description. But why is it so? What else? What else? Pertaining to the animal, man lost, has a very limited access. Pertaining to the vegetative world, the vegetative to the flora, man's extra rights are by far more pronounced than they encompass more. The area is a wider one. But as far as to the middle, the prayer is not enjoined us, not at all, from simply dominating, deriving pleasure from all kinds of dead matter, of minerals. Because the number of prohibitions, the lack of prohibitions, is proportionate to us. To the claims which HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes pertaining to that particular action. As far as life is concerned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how did it say, what did it say about Chedav Adam? What did it say about Chedav Adam? She'adam la'nefesh, v'ani nasatim lachem nesadam l'chater ala nizdeya. L'achinu na'o, kinu na'o, tiko nefesh l'tiko na'o. What did it say? What did it all say? Speak on the book in where is it? In Saba? In Saba or in Rachenes or so? In Saba or in Shiroyes? You can make a chilek of the animal. Whoever eats consumes chilek of the animal. Asher yakim and ishar ad Hashem. The animal which is offered to the Almighty. The nichus of the nefesh shaykhara is me'aneh. Very severe punishment. The chultam is the chayim of chayim of shaykhara. Or whether she speak of that the nichus of the nefesh me'aneh. Then you have it where else? The nefesh, Vayikro Yudzal 17, 10, the Ish Mebeis Yisroel, Nadir Abo Adepecho, Asher Yichal Kontom, the Nusafi Tolai Banefesh Yerichem Ez Adom, very severe, hard language. The Adom Mu Banefesh Kechaber, because the Dam always, the Dam was designated for one purpose always. For Kapore, for atonement, and what? And the altar, and the Mizbeah. How can you mark it in Israel? Kol Nefesh Nikem Nesechu Dam. What does it mean? Why is Dam Uchelet prohibited? Why? Because it belongs exclusively to the law. In particular, Dam, which is the center of life, with life depends actually upon the circulation of the blood. So, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's claim are very specific and very assertive that blood belongs to him, because life belongs to him. And there is an identification equation, the Chumash, with the life and blood. And that's why blood was claimed. It's not my own interpretation. It's the Chumash gives this interpretation. Yes, because Kadama Nefesh, this is kind of interesting. So it means, what is prohibited? The dam was not released to man. It's completely under the control and the Torah of the Almighty, his exclusive possession, the Almighty is all of life, he's the master of life, he's the master of the whole world. But Hashem was the way of the Yeshua, the particular is to do with the world. Because he's on the Kim Chayim. That's why about consumption of meat and of flesh. There are so many done so many commandments and precepts because the parents are listed reluctantly to them. As a matter of fact, you know, prior to Noah, the man was a vegetarian.
Frightened for his misery, usually, of course.
religiones, porque the world still restrains itself, should be excommunicated by society. So because Freud might explain that wherever Freud is not involved, simply it's a matter of convenience. I can address it. I consider society of today as insane. No, insane, not sick, but insane. And when I read something in the press that Merck is oil, they permitted abortions now. I don't know, it's a few times that I'm in the United States and asked for 60,000 children. The 60,000 boys, 60,000 boys and girls should leave the United States and settle in Merck is oil within the next year. And you have more for human immigration, they call it a real to me to the point of Merck is oil. You will not want yourself immigration there, at Israel. You kill, you murder the children. I don't think another time I like to preach, but I still think it happened again, beyond and above my comprehension of it. And I'll tell you, if you kill babies, I mean, you see that? The time will come when even infants will be killed. But the mother will get frightened after the baby will be born. Usually mothers go at a certain stage of depression. I mean, after birth of the baby, certainly. So something is after. That's also how it depends upon the mother of the baby. And you have a word, mental hygiene, and it's a word of which I explain. But whatever you want, because human or mental hygiene. It's all for the sake of her retaining her mental balance and sense of serenity. But I'm trying to speak like a psychiatrist. In sense of serenity, it's important to kill the infant. And I don't understand the difference between an infant from 1 day old, or at birth, or during a fetus, which is between 1 day old. And what is interesting is quite interesting. That women from traditional homes, Orthodox women, consult rabbis about abortions. And there is now a tendency among rabbis in the United States to march along with society, you understand? Otherwise, they are looked upon as reactionaries. Anyway, that's just the part of my topic. Anyway, the birth of the first child is the most cathartic experience. It borders and almost on the miraculous, particularly for the mother. And this is for a good reason. I mean, it's true, as far as psychologically, it's true. You will see mothers excited when they know that they have. They are going to become women, young women excited, so they know they are going to become mothers and have a baby. And the first time it's better than the ecstatic, the excitement. Later they get used to it. And that's where they begin to resent it. It's excitement, ecstasy, indifference, and elegance. And the others wanted to maintain that the excitement of the first baby should be sustained and extended to all babies. Anyway, because without a child, then this excitement has a very important idea when this is nurtured. Without a child, husband to wife are a closed community. Closed community. It's a closed life, there is. They care for themselves, and they are concerned with themselves. As a matter of fact, first of all, the single man, the bachelor, he is an egocentric person. I'm not speaking now in psychological terms. Not about the machine of the way, but I don't speak in psychological terms. in metaphysical, I mean, halachic terms, the singular is looked upon as an egocentric being. He is egocentric because as long as his father and mother live, or his brothers and sisters live, he still has opportunity to be concerned for somebody outside of himself. This is to his ancestor. So the guy moment after all, I mean, parents go, I mean, die, and family, I mean, falls apart, he has no one else to care for. So usually he begins to be concerned with himself, care for himself. And many of them become very selfish. They might spend a lot of money on it, they don't care for it. But I mean, experientially, existentially, they are selfish. That's why Chazal say, not to Isha, not to Day, or a Shorod Leisha, whoever is not married, Shorod Lebroche, leads an existence which is not blessed, a non-blessed existence. Shorod Leisha, he leads an existence which has no joy, no joy. Shorod Leitova, I mean, and so forth. It means a single existence is not complete. And if an existence not complete, men tend to become selfish, egocentric. Then comes the next stage. You marry. Marriage already, I mean, complete existence. Not fully, but for an existence expands. Because the husband cares for the wife already. If he is devoted to her, then I saw husbands who don't care for their wife. And the wife gets supposed to care at least for the husband, I mean. So the area, the existential area, of my existential awareness expands. It takes in somebody whom I love and for whom I care and for whom I'm ready, I mean, to sacrifice certain things there. But again, the existential experience is not complete. To sacrifice certain things there. But again, the
it's not good enough to be alone, to lead a single life. I mean, he says, it's not it. It's helpless. He doesn't feel it. It's a lot of it. Yeah. And he doesn't have to throw in life. He's free to go out and to come at an hour of the day and the night. I mean, he doesn't have to get up from his race card and say, my life is waiting for me. And he has to come beyond the hour, beyond the midnight, you know, 12 o'clock and so forth on. I mean, it's very convenient. How come he's not going to have named the same for a day that's not convenient? For a day means, it's very convenient, extremely convenient. But for a day means it is existentially, metaphysically, man thinks of himself, only cares for himself and is concerned with himself. That has to be in academics, sorry. But here, the completion of being is not reached. Man does not, being does not culminate just in marriage. Rashi says, okay, as a fish has started in Sinai, if there are fish, they go, you have lost a record, but in the common of flesh, it means the child. Then the cycle, the area extends again, is the birth of the first child. Then the wife cares not so much for the husband as for the child. And it's more important, for the child is helpless, you know. And the husband cares for the child, for his wife and for the child. So then the area expands. And the community, I mean, the single man is not community at all. It's a community-less being. Then the two create and form a community. what is the closed community. But when the child is born, so the community opens up. It's an open community. Yallah says, and I want to tell you, for instance, I mean, that's not true. To have children, not have children is not always up to us. Many, many people want to have children, can't. It depends upon conditions, certain natural conditions, physiological conditions, etc. But one can have a child at any time. If he cares for other children, for the education for other children. It doesn't mean that the child wants a couple. I just want simply, I don't want people to misunderstand me. The child wants a couple. If it cares for the education of another child, or for the happiness and health of being another child, when a child is a couple, I mean, take the child, or adopt the child, or don't have to adopt the child. I mean, support children, I mean, many children. So the area of being is very wide of the other world. I mean, there is many times they are superior, those couples are superior to the couples who were blessed with children. I don't want people to misunderstand me. In the Lachis of the opinion, as a child, a man who is childless cannot be appointed to any judgeship, to any post of justice in a criminal court. It means the way of giving a process. Problems of life and death are resolved because he lacks sympathy and compassion. It's a very strange law, I think. A Hasuch Advanim cannot sit in judgment in a criminal case. A normal man cannot sit in judgment, because I know myself, normal man then becomes square, gets square. That's true with me. There are certain colors in the old man. Why is it? Because he has life, because his life is behind him. In front of me, I don't know how long, how much I have. And this, and so it's about to feel the envy vis-à-vis younger people. I'm not joking, I'm serious. Vis-à-vis younger people, there's envy. And envy always leads to quarrel. Or at least non-sensitivity and indifference. It's very strange, this my phenomenon is this new and I know it from my own experience. Yes. If I don't need a Hasuch Ibani, it cannot be appointed to sit in judgment on cases where capital punishment is possible, which is probable. But I show you that the law has not that. That the community of the husband and wife is a closed community. It cannot develop compassion and sympathy as people who have to care and be concerned for children, for many children. With the birth of a child, the closed existential community opens up its gate to the newcomer. From now on, it is a non-hospitable community. The concerns of the parents encompass someone else. Hence, the firstborn son, who died in an infant, is a source of immeasurable pleasure and happiness to the parents. This is true, the parents enjoy it. And sometimes ecstatically, the firstborn son or girl, the firstborn child, enjoy it more than they do enjoy later the other children. There is and if the parents enjoy it more than any other child. If the happiness they derive from the firstborn exchange that with the rights of other children, so what does it mean? So then the claims of the Kodesh Baruch Hu are more specific to this child. Because he's the most precious child among other children. So then he belongs completely to the Almighty. The gift is, because the gift is very precious. It precipitates whatever belongs to the Almighty, precipitates Kedusha. And that's why Kavishnikov prayer, Tetakol Rechem, Vodla Meim Oviyu, because this is the most precious possession, I mean, on the path, as far as the parents are concerned. And this, and the child of this up, I mean, the community, I mean, the close community, and widens the concerns of the parents, and it brings in this sense of compassion and love and understanding, which the parents never had before, so that's why the child is Kodesh, is a resolution. It's different reason. God claims the firstborn son for himself, since the parents enjoy him so much, since the Almighty asked of the parents that he gives the child back or return him, so that's why the child is sanctified, and that's what it means that being a better, you know, in the world, the Jewish concept of prayer and the Egyptian concept of prayer are mutually exclusive. On the night of the 15th of Nisan, the Jewish concept of prayer emerged victorious, and the Egyptian concept of prayer was defeated. It was basically the last thing. What was the redemption? What was the main conflict between Mitzrayim and Israel, between Pharaoh and Moshe Rabbeinu? The whole conflict centered around the idea of prayer. What is prayer is? Power or prayer results in Kedusha? Let me say something else. Interestingly, the following. The Hadith told us to sanctify who? A prayer can be, we know, a three prayers, and of course, the father and the mother. To the father or to the mother? To the mother. Regardless of the fact that the father has already has many children, if it's the firstborn to the mother, he's already on it. In the Kedushas for applicant. Correct. To sanctify not the prayer of the firstborn on the paternal side, but the prayer in the mother's firstborn. Kaddishnik or prayer, Petak or Rachem, doesn't have any money. The Tedor opens up the book and with regard to Pishnayim, to the rights of the Tchor containing the double portion, what they call the right of primogeniture, concerning inheritance, the Torah assigned it to the paternal Tchor. For he is the first fruit of his strength, the right of the firstborn is his apostle. Okay, the Rashi says, when is God of Chayim? Why is it so? Why is it so? Why is it a big Kedusha, Pidin Aden, Kedusha, and so forth? So the mother of the Talmud is Tiferet. And vis-a-vis inheritance, the father of the Talmud is Tiferet. The Tiferet, everybody knows this story fully well. So why is it so? As regards inheritance, I believe the answer is plain. The paternal core is usually father's hometown. If it is part of the nose, is honest. He takes father's place in agriculture, commerce, as well as in menial work. I know many times, father couldn't do it, I did it for him, because I was older than my brother, and I was older than my sister, I was older than when father could simply entrust the mission or give an assignment. Even though the difference in age was not tremendous, the difference in age between me and my brother was 4.5 years. But still I was already a responsible person while my brother was still a child. So many times father used to go somewhere, take me along. But he didn't take me along in order to simply to please me. But simply because I helped him in a variety of ways. And this is true of everything. The trouble is now, you understand, the trouble is now perhaps you don't feel it, because now the home of the father, the home of the father, and the place of where he works and makes the living are so far removed from each other. I mean, father in office is number one, father in home is not a person, you see. So actually the children have no opportunity to help, to participate. Because simply because the home is destroyed, basically. There's no home. It's not a home at all. It's a house, a beautiful house. With all conveniences, but it's not a work. And for a variety of reasons. So what I say to you about the first bone attached to the father being the father's helper, perhaps you don't feel it, you don't agree with me, because you were raised and brought up in a different society. You were the son and not even the wife knows anything about father's business. You read apparently about the suicide of a few of us. It was a Muslim of the suicide of Sahori who told me that night, years ago. Yeah, they were poor. Yeah. His wife had no concept. No concept. That he lost his money and that he's on the verge of bankruptcy. He had no concept. She didn't buy anything. Neither did his children. And I wouldn't say he was a good husband, he was a very nice person. He was a very nice person, he was on his way back to us, But she knew nothing. Nothing. She knew as much as I did. She knew as much as I did. And because I'm in home and office, I'm our poor. And there is a gap, an unbridgeable gap between them. So we don't understand it, Because it was not the more actually, it was heavy home. And home not only for living, and having his meal, for working, making a living, where people share in each other's travail and distress. So there it is true that the father's oldest son, who was his substitute, his representative, his helper. That's why the Torah has assigned a double portion in the father's estate. Compensation for services he performed and for help he extended father while father was alive. He's entitled. Because he helped father accumulate in the world. He helped father acquire the estate. He worked in the Jetzt weisen Zeitung nicht der Dabutasche. However, in a patriotic society, where the male is the center of a, where the female was actually in slavery, so the prisoner was the tyrant. He was the tyrant too, because he had power. Paternal authority was placed under him. He practiced chicanery in a family where the male viewed its power, and the woman was in subjection to the male, yes. So, the father got older, so he became the tyrant. But even during father's lifetime, he acted on behalf of his father. The authority of the father was conferred upon him, which was the logical truth. The maternal power was persecuted, basically. He took abuse and humiliation from the paternal power. He was afraid of the latter. He was persecuted and oppressed. Therefore, as far as the Gdusha is concerned, God granted the Gdusha to us, not to the persecutor, but to the persecuted person. Not to the one who uses authority on behalf of his father, but to the person who suffers with his mother. And God is called prayer. Interestingly, Keter Korechem, it's symbolic. The prayer opens the womb. He comes out of the womb, and he opens something else. The community which father and mother close, he opens up the community. He opens up the community. He actually precipitates love and devotion to each other and dedication to the community. The Peter Borechen is very symbolic. As the opening of a spiritual community, an emotional community, as I explained before, when people, when the third person intrudes upon the two, they are too busy with themselves. They suddenly discover there is someone else, and in the room they should be concerned. Now let me get back to the task. Kiyomar HaLeshem, Dmit Chayr Yisrael, Zohim HaLecho Sholach Ez Niri Yadri, Yadmoyim Nishoreach, Yim Yonichi, Erech Ezbir Chotcherech. Let me just try to interpret the task. You understand that what the Almighty name says. God says, Dmit Chayr. So what's the conclusion to this Zohar HaLecho? What's the conclusion to be drawn from it? God said, Dmi Tcheli Yisrael. So what's the conclusion to be drawn from it? I'll ask you, for instance, if somebody comes into my house, so I introduce me and my children. Sure. So I point out a boy, a tall boy, and say, this is my Tchor. What conclusion will the Tchor infer from that statement? That I have no children. In this song, if I have only one child, I would say this might enjoy it. In this song, of course. But if I say he's my oldest, or he's my core, means that I have more children. He's the oldest, but I'm going to have more children. And God told Moses, you say to power, Yisrael is my son, comma. He is my core, comma. What does it mean? God has more children. He has many sons. Otherwise, the expression clearly is inappropriate. If one has a single son, he would say, Bin Yechidim, Es Bincho Es Yechidecho, Es Yechidcho, Asher Ahavto. Not Dmit Chayre. Who are those sons
You should get up late anyway, you see. I'll run out. Who are those sons? Who are they? Only every nation is a son of a Christian. How is all the nation need to be summoned? God loves every person, Jew and Gentile alike. But every person is a son for simple reason. What are the sons in common with the father? A genetic code. Here is not a genetic code that is in common with his universal father. But another code, the code of the image, a common image. The ceremony of the king wore the other way garment, black or red or yellow or white or whatever. The ceremony of the king wore the other. It means we have something in common. The father has something in common with us or with every human being. It means that every human being is a son of a Kadivoku. What is his claim? What is the role that his role plays? Come, that's all. We are the firstborn. Israel is the firstborn, but this fact does not exclude others. As a matter of fact, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the law to the people at Mount Sinai, he said,
community, to walk along God's way, God's path, to practice justice and charity the way it ever did. However, they needed to chant that for the oldest child, or the oldest child, is the best teacher and the most effective in relationship to teacher. Children imitate, not parents. A girl will imitate her mother, I mean, when she's very young. When she grows up a little bit, she will stop imitating the mother. So then she will give a dime for her mother. It's not difficult. She doesn't care for her mother. I mean, girls have contempt for their mothers at a younger age than boys begin to have contempt for their fathers. The girls find out this word much quicker than the boys. You see, they are very critical. And anyway, but you have no idea how great the impact is of an older sister or an older brother. You have no idea. If you ask me who is the greatest and most influential teacher, I'll tell you the older brother or the older sister. Certainly not the teacher of the school. Because they don't teach. The teaching is by osmosis, you understand? Yeah. By osmosis. It's a question of imitating, you understand? And this is a very powerful factor, you see, the desire to imitate the older one. So what is the job of the Jew? He is the core of God. But God has many children. All humanity, human race, actually consists of children of God. He is beneath. Prayer, but there are many children. Who in the house of the church is the task of teaching the youngsters of the prayer? Father and mother belong to different generations, because they, of course, father and mother belong to the children at the age of 12 or 13 or 14. Father is old fashioned, the mother is just old fashioned. They belong to different generations. Now we belong to the mother of the generation. We have a different colors and a different way of life. But she cannot say that about an older brother or an older sister. They belong to the same generation. So that's why I mean, I'm not joking. I'm serious about it. Father and mother belong to different generations. They are busy with house chores and everyday work. The older brother or sister set an example for the younger ones. They simply contribute a great deal to the growth and spiritual development of the younger children. The throne of the power of the Almighty is committed exactly to the job of teaching. But I want to tell you, the job of teaching is not fulfilled or executed properly just by writing books. Books are all right. If the people who write the books know that they have a sense of, unfortunately, most of them don't know. But writing of books is all right. But you don't teach a person by books. Books is not very effective, particularly now. People lost respect for the book. There's so much nonsense in books that people lost respect, so they don't discriminate a good and a bad book. If you teach people to know by that, by example, by setting an example. And that's exactly what our job is. Kiddushim Shemayim. Kiddushim Shemayim does not require martyrdom. Not martyrdom or the supreme sacrifice. Not at all. Kiddushim Shemayim that the Jew in his daily living, in his human relations, with his fellow man, should be honest, sincere, and particularly, as I emphasize the last was dignified, should act with dignity. To say that we now set a good example for our gender friends would be very difficult. But anyway, if a Jew commits a crime, Jew commits an error, he is actually violating the assignment which was given to him. To teach. An error you can teach. To not violate the law, to not violate the professor. Why only was a shiva? Why only those people? We can teach, we can intellectualize them. But the honest is a living discipline, the honest. A living discipline. We are never a shiva, we are not a shiva. The simplest you, the most ignorant you, can teach. And that's what the Holy Ghost says. Dream. Chere Yisrael. The soil of the core of the Almighty is committed to the job of teaching, guiding, and training people. And that's what Kadosh Baruch Hu says, that the royal shall say, by your refusal to free them, you prevent my core from fulfilling his great mission, redemption of humanity. As a whole, the adoption of a multitude of nations as my children, as my sons. It's not until now, in the time of the Rabbis and Moses, the question was of injustice done to one people or to one clan. None at all. To the Jews. The world was completely left outside the whole debate. Father did not do any harm and into anyone, to humanity, to the race, to the multitude of nations. He did inflict it all over to one people, to 600,000 Jews, that's all. This itself is bad, this itself should be avenged and fellow deserves to be punished for that. But now Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moses something else. Now comes with a different complaint, a different charge, that by enslaving the Jews, and by oppressing them, he prevents humanity from what? From being redeemed as soon as possible. Because humanity cannot be redeemed unless the Jew will fulfill his teaching assignment. And the Jew cannot fulfill his teaching assignment if he is a slave in bondage to Pharaoh. So actually, I mean, the Vayiba who ye are the Shem Echot, who Shmei Echot, this realization of all our hopes, we are postponed and delayed by Paris procrastination and Pharaoh's refusal to send the child. So Pharaoh sinned not only vis-à-vis the Jewish people who were involved, but against the world and against Egypt itself, against Egypt, the Egyptian people as such. Because their redemption and the redemption of everybody else depends upon our behavior and upon our conduct, and upon our readiness to fulfill on the assignment which was given to us. Where is our father to take Abraham's way and his daughter? It's still true. This is our pathology. Still true, and there is no evidence in the law today. But we paid a high price for teaching. We have a high price. The people who are supposed to be taught by us killed us, murdered us, abused us. But this just the people find that it still is valid. It's still valid. So you deny the teaching moment of the cholera. But more than Shalchem, you will make a heretic as being fulfilled. If there is no need for a teacher, if the poor cannot teach the younger ones, so you don't need a poor. And make a heretic as being fulfilled. Interesting is that the Chumash right away tells us a funny story. Namely, that Meisha what? Meisha forgot, or perhaps it was actually the Meisha in Israel in the minor. What did Meisha read it? Really forgot to circumcise his son. When he was there about knowing, if you can share Hashem by Bakish Lamisen. And Tzipora saved Moses by circumcising the son. Why did the Torah tell us the story? I mean, right after he was given the message to Pharaoh about need failing Israel. Why? If Moshe did not understand, if there is a child who should have been circumcised, it was the oldest child. Because the oldest child has to set an example for the younger child. Gershon, that was not the name of the oldest child. Gershon, the younger was the elder. Gershon's job was to teach the elder. What is it? Gershon is uncircumcised. It means not only on the far bodily circumcision is concerned, it means spiritually and emotionally uncircumcised. Insensitive. What does all mean? Insensitivity, our enemy, inaccessible, insensitive. Salvation is not right to. To appeal to Pharaoh and tell him a story, a new doctrine of Pharaoh, namely that of Pharaoh becomes the teacher. Well, the Lakish Hashem, the Lakish Lamisa. And then the Jews left the tribe, Shakesh Baruch Hu told them, all I want from you now is just one thing, namely, that you should bring up the firstborn son. In a manner in which he should be qualified to teach others. Obviously, contrary, because he opened up your community, he took the closed community of spiritual sensitive people and converted it into an open community of compassion and sympathy, and that's exactly what his job is to teach later. Obviously, prayers, better call Hachim, that's why Kiddush prayers is a memorial to the tribe. Thank you.